Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 5. I'm going to start with 24 to 26. Then I'm going to jump to 21. Then I'm going to jump ahead to 40. John 5. 24. I typed it out. I'll read it right off my paper here. Praise God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And finally, verse 40. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. We thank you that you are our life, Lord. We thank you that you are our all in all. We thank you for sending your only begotten Son, Lord. We thank you that we have passed from death unto life through belief in Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we lift him up here today, Father. Your word says that if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. Father, even those of us who are saved need to be continually drawn unto Jesus. Hallelujah. He is our life, and we thank you for that life. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father, who leads us and guides us into all truth and shows us things to come. Father, help us to hear that still small voice this morning, Lord, speaking to our hearts and telling us what each of us as an individual needs to know this very morning in your plans and purposes. We thank you and praise you, Father. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Praise God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. He is the Prince of Life.
Amen.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Hallelujah. I like what Tozer says. Everything is wrong till Jesus sets it right. Hallelujah. That's what I found in my life. I found in everybody's life that I've ever encountered. Everything was wrong. Even the things that appeared right and good were wrong until Jesus set them right. Hallelujah. And there is nothing that he can't set right.
Amen.
There's nothing dead that can't be brought back to life. No case is hopeless if Jesus is on the case. He says the hour now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Not the hour was, not the hour will be, the hour now is. Hallelujah. He wasn't just the resurrection and the life before, and will be one day. He is the resurrection and the life. Remember, he told Martha at the grave of her brother, I am the resurrection and the life. Right now, today, and every day, he changes not. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
He lives after the power of an endless life. And so do we. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. All power in heaven and earth is given into his hands. And he is the author of life itself. You know, it's so foolish to think that life can come out of death. In the natural, I'm talking about, in the evolutionist mind and the atheist mind. But Jesus can speak life to the dead and bring it to life anytime he wants and in any way that he chooses. If he could speak life to that which was without form and void, to that which had darkness on the face of the deep, and create out of nothing the vast universe, is there anything that is void and dark in our lives that he can't speak into life once again? Praise be to God. He will perfect that which concerns us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Nothing is finally dead until Jesus says it is. It's never too late until Jesus says it is. It's never over and done with until Jesus says it is. In fact, there is no statute of limitations on bringing something back to life in the kingdom of our God and Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Lazarus in the grave. Lord, he stinketh. He's been there for 4 days. If he had only come sooner, he wouldn't have died. It's all over. It's hopeless. He's dead. Not according to Jesus. Jesus didn't pronounce him dead. He said he sleeps. Remove the stone. Lazarus, come forth. Praise be to God. And he responded to the word, to the voice of the Son of God, speaking, now is the time of life. Hallelujah. What is your Lazarus? What is your and my Jairus' daughter? Remember Jairus, ruler of the synagogue. His young daughter took ill, sickness unto death. And he came to Jesus, knowing that Jesus had life. He had something that could change his circumstances. And as Jesus was on the way, he got interrupted. And suddenly the synagogue ruler's servants came running to him and said, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. If only, Jesus, you hadn't stopped to help that woman with the issue of blood. If only you had come directly to his daughter's bedroom. If only you hadn't allowed something to delay you, she might be alive. And Jesus said, only have faith. Only have faith. Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. Praise God. And he came to her, and he said, she's sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn, didn't they? Until he said, Talitha kumai, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Praise be to God. And she arose. What seems dead and hopeless in our own lives that we don't want to bother the master with? Don't bother with him. It's dead. It's hopeless. It's all over. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a dream that we once had and that has faded into the background. Maybe it's something that we always wanted to do but never got around to, and now it seems out of reach. Maybe it's a job opportunity. Maybe it has to do with somebody who we think couldn't possibly be saved. You know, there are those people, we all know them, they'll go to church 3 times in their lives. First time they'll throw water on them. Second time they'll throw rice on them. Third time, they'll throw dirt on them. And they're lost and gone. And we say, God could never save that person. Maybe it's a walk of holiness and Holy Ghost power that we seem to see in others and read about concerning others that we would like for ourselves, but it doesn't seem to be our lot in life. Maybe it's a ministry that you think you couldn't possibly be qualified to carry out. Or maybe it's a financial burden that just can't seem to be lifted. Whatever it is that seems dead and hopeless, is Jesus's arm too short to deliver? Is his power limited, or do we limit the power of the Holy One of Israel? Look at the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda. What an irony. Bethesda means house of mercy. And there was no mercy for him or any of the other people who were laying there day by day waiting for the waters to move so that maybe they could be healed. You know, he had laid there since before Jesus was even born into the world. That's how long he laid there. But when Jesus came on the scene and his voice spoke to his dead body, he went from lying on his bed to carrying his bed in the twinkling of an eye. Praise be to God. What about the man born blind from birth? 40 long years. Never saw anything. Bam! I see. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Jesus did it.
That's right.
I'm sure he had lost all hope. His parents had no hope. It was dead. His sight was dead. But Jesus, the voice of the Son of God, spoke to that deadness, and they came back to life. Look at all the barren women in the Bible whose wombs Jesus, God, brought back to life. Hannah, the Shunammite woman, Manoah's wife, Sarah, Elizabeth, and look at the blessings that they produced in relying and trusting on the arm of God.
Oh,
Walter was speaking today about the hands of man versus the hands of God. I'll put myself in the hands of God anytime over the hands of man. Praise be to God. They produce a Samuel and a Samson, and an Isaac, and John the Baptist. Praise be to God. I think a little bit closer to home of A.B. Simpson, founder of the Christian Missionary and Alliance Church, of which my main man, A.W. Tozer, was a pastor in. Praise God. You know, Simpson was ordained in the Presbyterian Church. And when he saw all the immigrants coming in to New York, to Ellis Island, and saw how little they had going for them, he said, we should be ministering to these people. And the church turned them down. We don't want to get involved. It's too much, you know, we don't want to get our hands dirty, essentially. And so Simpson left the Presbyterian Church, and he said, I'll minister to them. And he founded the Christian Missionary Alliance Church, and now it has churches all over the world. But he tells a story of a day that he was called to the hospital. And there was a little girl there, just like the one belonging to Jairus. And when he got there, by the time he got there, the parents had left her. The nurse was in there taking all the tubes out of her dead body. And Simpson said, it's not over until God says it's over.
Amen.
And he prayed over that little girl. And he put it in God's hands, and he walked out of the room, and he went to minister to the parents, and all of a sudden they heard a scream from the hospital room. Mommy! Mommy, where are you? The little girl calling for her mommy. Raised from the dead. And he wasn't an apostle. He was just a man of God who trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of My late friend, Roy Freiberg, I talk a lot about that ministry to people with AIDS and their families. Roy, who was on intravenous drugs for 20 years, finally went to a teen challenge, got saved, got delivered from his addiction, only to find out that he had AIDS himself because of using dirty needles. And he and I started that ministry together. He knew the streets of the Bronx like nobody else. He's like Curtis Sliwa. He knew every part of New York City because he had been all over it buying and selling drugs. And he'd bring coffee to the prostitutes, and then he'd bring them up, load them in his car, the drug addicts, the homosexuals. He'd bring them up to Middletown, to the Shepherd's Inn there, and I would play the guitar, sing a few choruses, preach a message, and then we'd minister to them, and we saw so many saved. Roy was like Samson in a way, because in his dying and his death, he affected more people's lives for the good than he did in his life, his former life, as a drug addict and a no good. Praise be to God. He didn't give up on these people. And he brought them back to life. And he showed them the way to eternal life. They just needed to hear the voice of the Son of God speaking to their deadness. And it had its effect. We have to realize that anything worth salvaging in our lives or the lives of others has to be brought to Jesus for His quickening power. Praise God. Remember the man who had a son who was demon-possessed, and the disciples couldn't deliver him. And Jesus came on the scene, and what did He say? Bring him unto Me. When we bring people unto Jesus, when we bring our dead situations unto Jesus, He can bring them to life. Whatever it is, bring it unto Jesus, and He can bring it back to life. Whatever it is, praise God. We always seem to leave out the how. How do we go about this? How do we get the thing to Jesus? How do we get His voice to speak to that dead thing that we want to see raised to life? I have a number of things that I jotted down here. First thing is we have to examine our motive. Is it worth bringing back to life? And will it give God glory? Or do we just want it to glorify ourselves or to bring pleasure to ourselves? When we bring it to the judgment seat of Christ, will we come away with a crown line or a frown line? Second, we have to be willing to commit and submit. You know, we have a problem with that, I think, in the Western world. I was talking to someone recently, and they were talking about their parents who were missionaries to someplace in Africa, where they had to go out in the bush, and I've heard Pastor Meter say the same thing. They don't have what we have. They don't have access to an ambulance corps that can drive them to a hospital if they take ill. They're out in the bush. What they do have and what has been brought to them by faithful missionaries is a faith in Jesus Christ, who can speak life to that which is dead. And they trust in the Lord. And they see many miraculous healings out there because they have no one else to turn to except God through Jesus Christ. Amen. They are committed and they are submitted because they have to be. I believe that there's coming a time when we're going to have to be fully committed to the Lord and fully submitted to Him, because times are going to get rough.
Amen.
Persecution is coming to Christians in this country. And the judgments of God are falling unless there's a repentance. We're going to be judged in many ways, and the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. We're going to have to come to that place where if something is really worth it, we're going to have to wrestle for it. We're going to need a word of affirmation from the Lord that this is truly of Him. This is something He wants to bring to life. You know, I talk about all that list that I gave, but the most important thing is to have that walk of holiness with the Lord. And in order to have that, there has to be a deep commitment, and we have to hear from the Lord on a regular basis. I heard a word here this morning. I won't say where I heard it, whether it was in the Bible study or a word or scriptures that were shared, but it was just what I needed to hear. Two phrases that jumped out at me that were the exact things that I've been praying about in my own life. I think of Joseph. We see the hard life that he had, sold into slavery. That whole incident with Potiphar's wife being falsely accused. 2 long years in prison. Just because he had a dream. And he shared that dream with his jealous brothers. And it says of him in Psalm 105, 19, "Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him, tested him." Until that which is dead in our lives that we want to see brought to life comes. Until we get that word. Remember John the Baptist out in the wilderness. 30 years preparing. And finally the word of the Lord came to him in the wilderness. And he ministered for months and then he was beheaded and died. All that preparation. But he fulfilled God's perfect will for his life. Until the time that Joseph's word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And it will be the same with us. We'll be tested. Do you really want this? Do you really want what you're asking me for? Is it really worth having? Is it worth having to the degree that you will go through the testings and you will hold fast no matter what until it comes to pass? Third, will it be a blessing to others or just ourselves? Remember, God richly blessed Abraham. Genesis 12:2. God said to him, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great." All good things. But then he said further, "And thou shalt be a blessing." You can't have one without the other. God is not going to bless us just for ourselves. He'll bless us so that we can bless others. Amen. He not only got blessed, he was told, "You're going to be a blessing." And he was. He was a blessing to Lot. He was a blessing to many people in his life. We have to be willing to give it back to God, whatever it is. Just like Hannah gave little Samuel back unto God. Fourth, God always honors genuine humility. Just as water in the natural seeks the lowest point, so the living water of God will come to those who are humble before Him. He looks for those who are poor of spirit and contrite and who tremble at His word. Praise be to God. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Fifth, we need to press in, no matter the pressure, to give up. I think of the earthly followers of Jesus. We read about them. Great multitudes followed him. And then there came a point where he said something that they didn't like. In John chapter 6, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood or you have no part with me. Who can receive such a word as this? Eat his flesh. You know what I find interesting? The numbering of the Bible came many centuries after Jesus walked this earth. But if you look at John 6:66, interestingly, it says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
That happens to be 666 in the Bible. They went back to their old life, or they went to somebody who was in place of Christ, somebody who was opposed to Christ. That's what the Antichrist is. He's either in place of or opposed to Christ. That's what anti means. And so many of them stopped following him. And then he drew 12 unto him. He narrowed the field down. And then they came to the Last Supper. And Judas did what he had to do and left after being given the sop. Now they're down to 11. And then they share the Last Supper and they go over the brook Kedron to the Garden of Gethsemane, which means olive oil press, the place where Jesus was pressed beyond measure so that he sweat great drops of blood. And further into that garden, he only took 3. Now we're down to 3. From multitudes to 3. And then finally, down to 1. Who was that one? Only one disciple beheld his crucifixion. John. Down to 1. Multitudes, 12, 11, 3. Down to 1. I wonder if that's why John writes so much about the love of Christ. Because he witnessed firsthand what it cost to buy our redemption. The great love that was shown. You know, we think in terms, you read the Old Covenant, you read about the crucifixion in the New. Just picture in your mind the Old Covenant. You're a priest in the Old Covenant. And people are bringing hordes of animals in. And they're being butchered. And there's blood and gore all over the place at that altar of sacrifice. There are flies. There's stench. The priest's clothes are soaked with blood and entrails. It's a filthy, disgusting scene. And then you come to the cross and it's the same thing. Many people being crucified, blood flying all over the place, flies, stench, the same thing. God wants us to see what great cost, what price it takes to buy back the guilty, all the blood of the innocents that has to be shed in order to buy us back. And only John beheld that. So he knew better than anyone, except perhaps Mary, Jesus' earthly mother, what it meant for God to send his only begotten Son to love the world that much. How near are we willing to press in? Are we going to be like the multitudes who we hear something we don't like? And we leave off, or we pull back. Maybe we don't leave the faith, but we pull back from pressing in as we should and as we need to in order to reach our goal. Behold your mother. Behold your son. Right there at the foot of the cross. One pressed in all the way. We can press in any time. God doesn't have, Jesus doesn't have office hours. And like I said 2 weeks ago, He doesn't doodle. God doesn't doodle. Everything that He drew in His plan and purpose for the creation, for you and me, is exact and has a full exact purpose. He doesn't doodle. He makes it exactly to His own specifications so that we are created unto His grand purpose. And each one of us has a part in it.
Amen. That's right.
It's not by accident. He measured it out. We are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Oh, hallelujah.
Does our soul know that right well? Mm-hmm. Or are we, oh Lord, I wish it may be this way or not put there, or I had that talent or this, that, or the other thing? You are exactly the way God designed you and created you for His purpose. He didn't doodle you in. Praise be to God. 6. It's okay to pray for the Lord to help our unbelief. Just like that father did. All things are possible. Only believe. And the man said, what? I believe, Lord. Help thou mine unbelief. We can pray. Lord, I have faith. Help thou my lack of faith. Help thou my small amount of faith. Lord, I trust you. Help thou my lack of trust. It's okay to pray that, because we all fall short in those areas at times in our walk. Praise be to God. 7. I read this in Tozer some time ago, and it's always stuck with me. He said, we can't use the cross to avoid the cross. That's a profound statement. We always go back to the cross, as we should. That from that flows our life. That's where Jesus paid for our salvation. That's where He did His part, and we are saved. Unless I jump out of His hand and become a Muslim and become a jihadist in Afghanistan and blow people up, I'm saved, and I'm on my way to heaven. But there's our part as well. And we can use the cross and say, well, Jesus did it all. I don't have to do anything. Not for our salvation, but there are things that we are called to do. And that's to live in holiness. And that is to accept the challenges of the faith, whatever they might be. That means holding fast our profession.
That's right.
Out in the world. When they pressure us, just like they did the Boy Scouts, to fold. No, I'm not folding. I stand for Jesus. You know, I'm asked sometimes why we don't fly an American flag here. I love my country, but my allegiance is to Jesus. That's who I pledge my allegiance to. And when He comes in conflict, His teachings, with anything that the country might teach, or any way the country or the world might go, I choose Jesus. Who am I going to believe? Who am I going to follow? Jesus or the world? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We can't use the cross to avoid the cross. We are called to take up our cross daily. And to follow Jesus. And sometimes that cross is going to lead us to places we don't like. What is that cross designed to do? Kill. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to put something to death. And that cross is supposed to put myself to death. My old man that wants to constantly grab me and pull me back into those old ways. That cross kills. And I have to be willing to allow that cross to kill whatever it wants in my life to draw me closer to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I can't use it as, well, Jesus did it all at the cross. I don't have to do anything. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I can't do anything to earn my salvation. I can't do anything to add to the work that He's done. But I can be obedient to His word. And as I am, I'm going to run up against a cross.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Eighth, we need to simply know that Jesus loves us and wants to bless us and give us the desires of our heart. He watched us watch over the death of whatever it is or was in our lives that we've given up on. He watched us as we hopelessly watched perhaps something die in our lives that we very much wanted to be a part of our life and our destiny. But thank God we serve a redemptive God. And He holds fast to anything that we allow in our weakness to slip out of our hands. He'll never let it go. Said of Jesus in Isaiah, a bruised reed will He not break, nor a smoking flax will He allow to be extinguished. If we have a spark of hope and belief and faith and trust, the voice of the Son of God can speak that back into life.
Amen.
Praise be to God. He loves us and our walls are continually before Him. John 13:1. This just jumped out at me. John 13:1. There's this whole section, John 13-17, of Jesus' final words and prayers and instructions to His disciples. John 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own, which were in the world. Are you in the world? Are you His own? He loves you. And this is what jumped out at me. He loved them unto the end. He loves us right up until the very end. He loved us before the foundation of the world. He loved us enough to die for us and to save us. He loves us now, no matter how badly we might have sinned. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Amen? He'll love us to the end of time, till time shall be no more. And then He'll continue to love us throughout all eternity. He loved them unto the end. And I want to close by going back to verse 21 of John 5. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. And what He will. He can quicken, bring to life whatever He wills to bring back to life. Never give up. Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to pray the price? Are we willing to soldier on, regardless of setbacks, and press in as we sing there to the heart of the Father? You know, Simpson, A.B. Simpson, said we should never sing a song that we don't mean to obey, to be obedient to. You know, how many times have I sung over the years, I surrender all? And it was a lie. I hadn't surrendered all. We ought to be careful about the things we say. It really made me think, you know. What songs am I singing? What am I saying? I'm crying this out to the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Do I mean it? Do I plan to live up to that I'm singing? Are we willing to fight for the dead thing that Jesus has not pronounced dead? Praise be to God. Father, we thank You and praise You. We thank You that You are the resurrection and the life. We thank You, Lord, that we can hear the voice of the Son of God even now speaking to that which we may have given up on and lost to seeming death and hopelessness, Lord. Nothing is over until you say it's over.
That's right.
Praise be to God. We just trust in you, Lord. Help thou our lack of trust. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And amen. Praise be to God. Close with a song. The altar will be open for prayer. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're still in the season of Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't given up. The voice of the Son of God could shout anytime.
Amen.
And say, come up hither.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise be to God. And I'm ready to go. Are you?
Amen.
So glad for me when this life is over. I'll ride away to a home on God's precious shore. I'll ride away, oh Gloria. Fly away, Lord. When I die, hallelujah, I am high.
Father, we want to thank you for these words brought forth today, Lord God. They're words right out of the book, Lord God, your words. These words are strong words, words that we need to understand and live by, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you for the ability to listen and have faith in you, Lord God, because we trust in you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. You are our light, Lord God. We stand in the water as it raises up over our body, and we just love you, Lord, with all of our mind, soul, heart, and strength. But Lord God, most of all, we thank you for the blood that was shed for us, the resurrection, Lord God. And as we work for Christ in us, the hope of glory, we come to you each and every week to hear your words. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.